some technical difficulties, but we survived. Hey, Merry Christmas! Wow! I come walking in here. This is, you guys did a good job. Wonderful. Hey, I hope you're surviving the Christmas season. I hope you survived Black Friday. I don't know why y'all do that. But we went down to Victoria Gardens. That was a mistake. I don't think there was a parking spot available there. So, oh man, Merry Christmas. No, this is great. It's wonderful to celebrate this time of year. Okay, we've all experienced this. You're watching your favorite TV show, maybe your favorite YouTube video, or maybe you're scrolling on a website, then all of a sudden those dreaded ads pop up. Oh, we hate them. Nobody likes them. Nobody cares. Nobody pays attention to them. Why? Because they interrupt what we're doing. We hate them. I did a little bit of research, and I found out last year that U.S. companies spent an estimated $380 billion in these ads, all designed to get your attention. These companies realize that these ads have got to be good because they are interrupting you in your show. You know, whenever I'm watching a show or something and one of those ads come up, I always get so frustrated. I'm like, I'm never going to buy your product because you interrupted me. I was so engaged. So these companies know, hey, this ad has got to be able to grab your attention. It's got to be good. And one of the most powerful ways that ad companies have discovered that can grab your attention is through the power of personal testimony. You know, they can tell you all about their product. They can tell you how it'll, you know, change your life or you know, how it'll impact you or how good it is. Or they can sit there and tell you that, but nothing is as good as hearing the testimony of someone who's actually used the product. In fact, that's why as consumers, we check the what? Before we buy a product, we check the reviews, right? You can go online, you can check the reviews, and there you can hear the testimony of somebody that will tell you whether to buy the product or not. This is what the product did for me. It's the power of personal testimony. It's real, it's authentic, and it grabs people's interests in a way that no other method can. Folks, as believers, we all have a testimony. We all have a testimony. We all have a life story. Whether we've thought about it or not, it's there. It's a testimony that we all have. And as a believer, let me tell you, as a believer, your stories, each one of you, your stories are powerful. They have meaning and they can have impact. Now, some of you might hear me say that and you might be thinking, oh man, I don't know, mine's kind of boring. You know, I was raised in a Christian home and, you know, I came to know Jesus way back then. No one's going to be interested in it. You know, or maybe the flip side, some of you might have a testimony and, oh man, my years before Christ, they're very unpretty, as Jelly Roll would say. You don't want to know about my past, you know. Or you might even be thinking, hey, you know, I have a testimony, but I don't see why it matters. You know, why should I even care? This morning, you're going to see firsthand from the Apostle Paul that your story is powerful. Your testimony has weight to it. And it can be used to bring the gospel to others. You have a testimony that speaks. So turn to Acts chapter 22. So we'll be this morning. Acts chapter 22. We're going to look at verses 1 through 22, where you're going to see that, folks, your story, your testimony, it speaks the gospel. And it's powerful. And so what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to show you a few principles that go along with a powerful testimony. Okay, so you have your notes. Number one, the first principle is that a testimony that speaks with facts cannot be denied. Fill that in. A testimony that speaks with facts cannot be denied. That'll be our first point. Okay, Acts 22, verse 1. After completing 3 missionary journeys, after planting churches, encouraging churches, training leaders all along the way, God has told Paul that now he is headed to Rome. We know from another letter that Paul had plans to head to Spain, but God has different plans. He said, no, you're going to Rome. You know, it's amazing in the book of Acts, when we read Acts, how Paul would want to go north, he would want to go south sometimes, but no, God kept pushing him westward. Eventually, the church would be established in Rome. To Rome, he's going to be gaining more and more of a prominent audience, as he's going to stand before high-ranking officials, and eventually, he's going to stand before Caesar himself and have to give a defense of the gospel. So this part of Acts begins with Paul being in Rome, and he's in the temple in Jerusalem, and he's arrested on some baseless charges by the Jews. The Jews are vehemently opposing Paul by now. They hate what he's saying. He's preaching the gospel. He's preaching about the Messiah. They don't like it. So they drum up some bogus charges. And now Paul's got to give a defense before this angry crowd of Jews. And starting in verse 1, you're going to see how Paul's defense that he gives is going to be his testimony. And you're going to see how powerful it is. Look at chapter 22, verse 1. Now imagine Paul standing before this crowd, and he says this. He says, brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Aramaic would be kind of the Hebrew dialect of that day. He says this. Then Paul said, verse 3, I am a Jew born in Tarshish of Cilicia, brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. As the high priest and all the council themselves can testify, I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. All right, fill this in. This is in your notes. When it comes to a testimony, one thing you're going to know, especially in these first five verses, is that a testimony speaks through an authentic background. Fill that one in. A testimony speaks through an authentic background. That's what Paul's doing right off the bat in these first five verses. Folks, this is Paul's past. It's real. It's authentic. He doesn't try to hide anything. He said, hey, this is who I was. In fact, he goes into great lengths to identify himself as one of those Jews that actually hunted Christians. That's what I did. And in case they were mistaken that he was maybe one of those Hellenistic Jews, Paul's like, no, I was born in the city of Tarshish, a Greek city, but I was actually brought up in Jerusalem, the hub of Jewish culture. In fact, I trained under the rabbi, and he name drops Gamaliel. You know, that was the rabbi of the day. Everybody wanted to be taught by him. He was the top-ranking prof of that day. I trained under him. I'm 100% Jewish, folks. That's what he's telling them. He's being as authentic and as real as he can. He even tells them this in verse 3. He says, I was just as zealous for God as you are. You know, Paul thought he was literally doing the right thing as he persecuted these Christians. As he went after them, he thought he was serving the Lord. He said, hey, I've been in your shoes. I was the one hunting Christians as well, and I thought I was pleasing God. But notice that through sharing Paul's background, he's identifying with them. I've been where you're at, man. And I thought I was serving the Lord too. That's a part of his testimony that he's sharing. You know, if you've ever heard of like group therapy, a lot of the most effective tools that they'll use is sharing your story. You know, if you ever heard of AA meetings or been to AA meetings, that's one of the powerful things you do is you share your story, how you struggled. And you share it and people can identify with it. Hey, man, hey, I've been where you're at, man. I've felt your struggles. I felt your pain. And that's what Paul's doing. He's connecting with them. But notice that through sharing his background, folks, he's making a connection with them. And they can feel it. And they can experience it. Now, watch as he gets into his conversion testimony in verse 6. Let's keep going. Verse 6. He says, about noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of light had blinded me. Okay, something else that you're going to notice about a testimony is this. Fill this in. It speaks to a life-changing encounter. Okay? A testimony speaks to a life-changing, and I emphasize, a life-changing encounter. Okay? This is Paul's conversion testimony. It's his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and it is undeniable, and it is also transformative. It's quite the experience. And here you have Jesus himself asking Paul, hey, Paul, why are you persecuting me? You know, Paul, what the heck are you doing, dude? Why are you doing this to me? And notice Paul's response. It's not, It's, well, what should I do, Lord? You sense the submission there? What do I do, Lord? And Paul's transformation begins from this powerful conversion experience. You see it in the book of Acts. He responds by doing what the Lord asks. And Jesus makes a powerful transformation in this man who once persecuted and hunted Christians. He made a powerful transformation in his life. Now, this is a very unique experience. I don't know if any of you have had a Damascus experience in your life. But when it comes to your testimony, folks, think about how has Jesus changed your life? When Jesus came into your life, what difference did that make? How has Jesus changed your perspective on life? Think about those things and incorporate that into your testimony. Look, I used to be that. Now I'm this because of Jesus and the difference that he's made in my life. I once was blind, but now I see. That literally happened to Paul. But you think, how has Jesus made a difference in your life, folks? And then you share it. People want to hear that more than, hey, yeah, I gave my life to Christ on this day. Yeah, that's great, but what differences has that made in your life? Now, watch how Paul shares his response to this conversion calling as he's going to tell him about this mature believer who confirms this call, and then he baptizes him. Look at verse 12. Verse 12. He says, a man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. Now, notice here, fill this in, how a testimony can speak through a faithful response. A testimony speaks through a faithful response. Okay, folks, we don't just hear the gospel, but we respond to it. God calls us, he gives us a task, and then we respond. Notice how in verse 12, Ananias, he's described as a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews. In fact, Luke will tell us in chapter 9, he's a disciple. He's a mature believer that confirms Paul's call, that Paul was going to be Jesus, notice this, verse 15, he was going to be Jesus' witness to all people of what he's seen and what he's heard. That's the mission that Jesus has given him. And he tells him in verse 16, Paul, dude, what are you waiting for, man? Get up. Be baptized. Wash away your sins. You know, get going. You've got your task. You've got your job. Now do it. And guess what Paul does? He does it. He does that because that's why he's standing before these Jews today. Because he's done all those missionary trips. He's lived out that call. And now he's standing before them testifying of his response that he's made to Jesus. He's faithfully responded to God's call. Folks, a testimony that speaks with facts, it cannot be denied. And that's what Paul's been doing. This is who I was before Christ. These are the facts, Jack. This is what happened when Jesus came into my life. You know, it's powerful. You're telling others the difference that Jesus has made in your life. And then you're going to tell them how, hey, I responded to that call faithfully. And people want to hear about it. You're connecting with them. You know, I've done what's called cold witnessing before. Where it's kind of like, if you ever heard door-to-door evangelism, you literally are sharing the gospel with people you don't know. They don't know you. You don't know them. And you use techniques. I remember using, if some of you might remember, the old Romans Road or the four spiritual laws, and you're sharing them with them. And you know, that can be effective, but I tell you, nothing is more effective than the power of your personal testimony, of you just sharing your story. Because people want to hear what Christ has saved you from. They want to hear how you responded to God's call and how you are trying to live that call out faithfully in your life. And that shows them, folks, that, hey, you're just being real. You're being authentic. And that's what people want to hear. That's what they want to see. And you say, hey, you know what? Jesus entered my life and he made a change. He made a difference. There's transformation there. And guess what? He did that to me. He can do it to you as well. It's the power of personal testimony. So a testimony that speaks with facts, it cannot be denied. Second, a testimony that speaks with honesty must be shared. A testimony that speaks with honesty, it must be shared. Okay, let's keep moving. Verse 17. Paul has shared about his BC years, you know, his before Christ years. He's told him about his conversion experience. Now, I love this section because Paul's now going to share with them an intimate conversation that he has with the Lord. And he's completely honest with them about it. Watch this. Verse 17. He says, when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking to me. Quick, he said, leave Jerusalem immediately because the people here will not accept your testimony about me. Lord, I replied, these people know that I went from synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then the Lord said to me, go. I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Now, first thing, notice how Paul is just open and honest about this. He's being open and honest about his struggle with the Lord. Apparently, the Lord told Paul that he was in some danger if he stayed in Jerusalem, according to verse 18, because the people here will not accept your testimony about me. Basically, he's telling, hey, Paul, you got to get out of here, dude. You're not going to be effective here. This is not where I need you. But notice verse 19, Paul gives a little bit of pushback. He thinks he's got enough credibility with them because he used to do what they did. He imprisoned believers. He beat them. He was there when they martyred Stephen. Lord, shouldn't that give me enough credibility with them? I used to do what they did. So should I stay? Yeah, I get a little bit, you know. These are, mind you, Paul's a Jew. And these are Jews. These are Paul's people. He grew up as a Jew. He practiced the law. He knows the law. This is his comfort zone. You know? Shouldn't I stay, Lord? I think I got some credibility here. The Lord says, no. No, Paul. I need you somewhere else. I need you somewhere out of your comfort zone because I got work for you elsewhere. Guess how Paul responded to that? Paul obeyed. He did it. He obeyed that call as he took 3 missionary trips, establishing churches, mentoring leaders, building up believers. It's quite a resume. He did it. Yeah, there was some back and forth between him and the Lord. There was some pushback, but ultimately he obeyed. And folks, he was open and he was honest about it with these Jews. That's part of his story. It's part of his testimony, and he shares it with them. And they could see that ultimately he submitted. He obeyed. Folks, that's why we need to have obedient attitudes towards whatever God would have us do. Because people can see your obedience, and that makes for a powerful testimony. Fill this one in. A testimony speaks through willing obedience. A testimony speaks through willing obedience. Folks, we don't always see the big picture when it comes to God's plan. We don't. What makes sense to you doesn't mean that it's part of God's big plan for you. You know, we might have these big, grandiose plans of doing something great for God. Lord, here's what I think should happen. But God's plans can be different, way different than what you would ever imagine. And you know, here the Lord tells Paul to go, but sometimes the very opposite can happen. Where you might think go, and God might be saying to you, you need to stay. You need to stay and just be faithful right where you're at. Just be obedient to me. This is where you're most effective. This is where I want you. This is how I want to use you. Mark Twain encountered a ruthless businessman from Boston during his travels who boasted that no one ever got in his way once he determined to do something. He said, before I die, I mean to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I'm going to climb Mount Sinai, and when I'm up there, I'm going to read the Ten Commandments aloud at the top of my voice. Unimpressed, Twain responded, I got a better idea. Stay in Boston and keep them. Now, that's harsh, but sometimes God's plans might be for you to stay where you're at and just be faithful. Just be obedient. Whatever it is that God calls you to do, folks, it makes for a powerful testimony when you obey. And you share that with others openly and honestly. You're sharing how you wrestled with God, but ultimately, hey, you submitted. You obeyed. Folks, people can relate to that. I don't think anyone in here can raise their hand and say, yes, I've been 100% obedient with God when he's asked me to do something. I think we all can raise our hand. There's always been that struggle. Man, people can connect with that. And Paul does that. He shares that in his testimony. Now, watch the response of the crowd, verse 22. Watch how they respond to his testimony. It says, the crowd listened to Paul. Until he said this, then they raised their voices and shouted, rid the earth of him. He's not fit to live. Wow, what a response. Man. The Lord told them they'd reject him. And guess what, folks? They rejected him. Even after he shared his testimony in verse 22, they still, it says, they raised their voices and shouted, rid the earth of him. He's not fit to live. Rejection. Fill this one in. A testimony speaks despite rejection. Fill that one in. A testimony speaks despite rejection. A testimony that speaks open and honest truth may not always be heard, but it always honors God. It might not always be accepted or heard, but it always honors God. Just because you give a powerful testimony doesn't mean that people respond the way that you think they will or the way that you want them to. You just faithfully share your story because that's what God calls us to do. You share it. You're not just sharing your testimony with the goal of acceptance. You just want to honor God with it. The measure of a faithful witness is obedience, folks, not acceptance. It's obedience, not acceptance. You're sharing your story, again, because you're honoring God. Because that's what a faithful witness does. They honor God by faithfully just sharing your story. And you're doing that. So a testimony that speaks with facts, it cannot be denied. A testimony that speaks with honesty, it must be shared. So here's where we land. Number three, speak boldly with your testimony by living it out daily. Speak boldly with your testimony by living it out daily. There's an old saying that used to go, your life may be the only Bible somebody will ever read. You get that? Your life might be the only Bible somebody will ever read. In other words, there are so many people out there who don't know the story of Scripture. They don't understand the love. They don't understand the mercy. They don't understand the grace that God offers because they don't read about it. And guess what? They probably never will. But you know what? If they don't read about it, they can see it. They can see it lived out. They can see it in the power of your testimony as you live it out daily. A man kept his beautifully bound Bible on his coffee table. He loved showing it to guests. Its gold-edged pages, its flawless cover, its perfect condition. But one day a friend asked him, it looks brand new. Do you read it? The man hesitated. Well, not as much as I should, but isn't it beautiful? His friend smiled gently and said, it's beautiful, but it ain't doing much good closed. Folks, our testimonies work the same way. A powerful story of what Jesus has done becomes far more powerful, folks, when it's opened, when people see it lived out, not just talked about. Paul didn't just tell his testimony, folks. He lived it. Even when it cost him his comfort, he lived it out. Even when it cost him his safety, and boy, his life was in peril many and many a times. He lived it out. Even when it cost him his acceptance, he lived that testimony out daily, and he shared it with others. So there's a few things I want to leave you with as we close this morning. First, number one, when it comes to telling your story, remember this, speak factually. When it comes to sharing your story with others, speak factually. Let truth be your foundation. This is you telling your real story. Man, you're just being open and honest about it. And you know what? I get it. Some of us have some BC years that we'd probably rather not talk about. We've got a past, and you know, use wisdom and discretion on that. But just know that your story is powerful. It connects with people. Now, you don't need to be carried away with it either. You don't need to embellish your story. Again, some of us might have stories that are, I don't know, that's kind of boring. I don't think people would be interested. Maybe I need to spice it up a little bit. You don't need to do that. You don't need to massage the truth. Just speak factually and let God work. Just let Him work. So speak factually. Number two, second, speak faithfully. Speak factually, speak faithfully. You know, be ready to speak when God opens the door. Now, I'd even suggest writing out your story, writing out your testimony, putting it out on paper. Think about what you would say. You know, how would you describe your life before Jesus entered into it? You know, was it empty? Did you feel like something was missing? Maybe, I don't know, maybe you just never even thought about spiritual things. You know, what is it? I suggest you write it out. So that way, when the opportunity comes for you to share it, you're ready. And when it comes, when that opportunity comes, do it. do it. Speak faithfully. You know, I can sound a little bit like a coach right now, but the more reps you get, the better you'll become. The more you practice it, sharing your story, the better it comes, the more it'll flow. But you got to get out there and do it. You got to start taking those first steps. And man, once you get it down, it becomes powerful and people hear it. So you speak faithfully. Third, don't forget to speak boldly. Don't forget to speak boldly. You could even say this, speak fearlessly, boldly, fearlessly. Don't forget to do that. Folks, let courage be your voice. Okay? Let courage be your voice. And remember that at the end of the day, ultimately, it is the Holy Spirit who is speaking through you. He is using you to communicate the gospel to others, folks. You just got to make yourself available to Him. Be completely surrendered to the Spirit. Man, and when you understand the fact that God is doing it through you, that's a real confidence booster. That gives you boldness. That makes you fearless to be able to share your testimony with others, whether it's sharing with one person in an intimate setting or it's sharing with others in a crowd. Either way, the Holy Spirit gives you confidence. Even if it's a receptive audience or a resistant audience, the Holy Spirit will give you confidence. And so, folks, learn what your testimony is. You know, who were you before Christ? What happened when Christ came into your life? And what difference has Jesus made in your life? Figure that out. I'd suggest write it out. Learn it. Practice it. Then share it with others. And I tell you, don't hold back. Don't hold back. Give it to them and just let the Holy Spirit work. That's what Paul did. He's in front of an angry mob of Jews. And he's able to get up with courage, knowing that God is speaking through him. It has a powerful, powerful impact on others' lives. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, just for the fact that you give us a story, Lord. You've come into our lives at some point, and you've changed us. You radically have transformed us, Lord. And Lord, I think a lot of us, we don't really think about our testimony and how powerful it is, of the stuff that you've done in our lives. And Lord, I just ask that as we reflect on our testimonies, Lord, that we gain that courage to use them to speak to others, Lord, because there's a world out there that so desperately needs to hear about you. And Lord, you can use us, Lord. So I pray for that courage. I pray for that boldness, Lord, for us to speak the truth as witnesses of Jesus Christ, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name by the power of the Spirit. Amen.